Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in Jaguars Today. We're live at Everbank Field as we are every day. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, Jason Day doesn't tee off until, I think, 1:59 this afternoon.
Is that your guy?
He's my guy. But if at any point, I guess that would be tomorrow, if at any point he does something good, I'd like you to break into the broadcast and announce that, okay? And if at any point he does anything bad, I'd like you to completely ignore
that.
So
he tees off at 1:55?
I think it's 1:59.
I wouldn't worry about it today.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's more a tomorrow thing than a today thing. You have a pick for the Masters.
No, I did not.
Wait, we don't really do that. It's like, oh, there are other sports out there. Ryan O'Halloran, have you broken down the Masters field for 2015?
I have.
You have? All right. What do you have? What can you tell us?
I like the Masters. Jack had a hole-in-one yesterday.
He did?
But he's not playing. But my pick earlier in the week was Jordan Spieth. Everybody says, well, he's too young, blah, blah, blah. Well,
he's red hot.
He was not old enough to be in contention last year, so he built up that, you know, you got to like get the experience before you are able to win it. So that would be my pick.
He is, top three the last 3 weeks out?
Yeah, like first, third, second, third.
Something like that.
Second, and his only time out at Augusta last year.
Had I not used Spieth a few weeks ago, got a second place finish in my fantasy golf league, which is really what everyone tunes into Jaguars Today to get an update on, I probably would have gone with Spieth myself.
Yeah,
this week.
Spieth, Jimmy Walker is probably a pretty solid pick.
Used
this
him too.
Week. Right.
Thought about Bubba, but Bubba. 3 and 4 years. Oh man, that's
there's only three guys that have won it back to back. He's trying to become the fourth.
Yeah. He's certainly a horse for the course though. The course sets up beautifully for him.
Yeah, and like I mean I like watching Rory play, but his form him and Fowler just haven't played well this year.
No, they haven't, but boy,
can you
Fowler.
Just turn it on?
Fowler did he do anything last year other than finish top five in every major?
I think that was what it was.
That's what he did. I mean, he just showed up for every major championship. He's going out late today as well. So is Tiger. So as far as that goes, Tom Watson I saw was even last I checked, I think through seven, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe that was Bubba. I don't know. I saw Watson. I presumed it was Tom. Perhaps it's Bubba. Maybe I should check myself, on that one.
Well, they're both out there. One of them's one under through two. And one of them's even through
maybe,
seven.
Maybe that, well, I'm going to hope that's Tom who's one under through two, because I have a feeling a lot of people, it is Tom one under through two. He's unbelievable. And then I clicked on that, Tony. I clicked on the Watson who said one under through two, and it brought me to Tom Watson's scorecard and it said he's even through seven. So now I'm totally confused.
No, Bubba Watson's one under through two.
Well, there you have it. I knew I should have picked Bubba Watson. I'm going to quickly backtrack on my selection, which I do every single week. But I can't have that one back. All right, it is the first day of the Masters. We will talk plenty of draft today, 3 weeks out from the NFL draft. It's getting closer. Are you tired of it yet? Are you just a big exhale from you right there?
Well, we are entering draft fatigue, and yesterday, and we'll get to it later. Yesterday, there was the big thing. Oh, he changed his quarterback ranking. Well, that means, and then they're picking on Leonard Williams earlier this week. So it's almost like you got nothing better to do, so you're going to start, you rearrange your deck chairs on the Titanic. Hopefully next week or the week after, we can kill the middle of the week with the schedule, which will be out before the draft.
Right, should be out like midweek next week.
Yeah,
is what everyone's expecting.
Hopefully, yeah. So okay, that kills a couple of days, and then the next week we'll get back to the draft, and it's only 9 days away.
Right.
So
that preseason schedule you told us will come out
today,
right?
Yeah.
At least maybe not the specific dates unless it's a national TV game, but you'll know which week. And home or away, and what the order of opponents that you're going to play here.
Yeah,
you always want the third game at home. That's the only thing I care about. Is the third game the most competitive game, the one you're going to see the starters play the longest, a home game for the fans? I think that's my primary thing I look at when it comes out.
And 2 years ago was the third game was home against Philly. Last year was at Detroit. So
you hope,
yeah, because. The other part, there's going to be some different opponents because they try and do it within proximity. Well, everybody in their proximity, they play during the regular season. So you're going to see, I think you're going to see AFC North, maybe NFC East in this preseason schedule.
We'll mix it up a little bit. The worst, though, is when you get that third one on the road and then the fourth one's at home and you're like, Whoopee.
Yeah. All right, well, last year I think they had 1-4 at home.
Terrible.
Bleh.
Yeah. I don't mind. One's fine. I don't mind one. It doesn't matter. Just give me three at home, and I'll, you know, chances are if you have three at home, you're going to have four on the road.
Probably.
Whatever the case may be. The season doesn't start until September 13th this year.
It's brutal.
It's late, man.
Yeah. That fourth preseason game, I think it was 2010, the Redskins played at Arizona. The most useless trip of my career.
Yeah, go. Well, I could top you on that one, I think, but that's pretty useless. It's a preseason trip, A, and you're going out to the Southwest.
118 degrees.
Covering out. A team that's, you're deciding between, you know, the last three guys making the team. I went to the Jags regular season trip to Seattle when Mike Sims Walker got suspended for the game for staying out late, and the Jags got shut out 40-something to nothing. That was a wasted trip. That was a one day or two, man. I did Jacksonville to Seattle round trip in a single day. More like a red eye coming back.
So left Saturday, cut back Monday.
No, left Sunday. Left Sunday morning because, you know, 4 o'clock Eastern kickoff. Mm-hmm. I got in about 2 Eastern time. Out there in Seattle, went right to the stadium, took in the game, went to the locker room. A lot of happy faces in that room, right?
It's always fun to go into a visiting locker room all the way across the country after they get beat down.
What was it like? Was it 47-0? I don't know, something like that. It was a bad beating that they took that day. I tried to excise it from my memory, and then it was a, why don't we head straight to the airport? Come right
back.
Was
that the Mike Sims Walker?
That was,
too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so Mike Sims Walker out on the town. I hope you enjoyed it. What's Mike Sims Walker up to these days? Other than he's still very active on the Twitter.
Yeah.
What does he do?
I think that's it.
What does Mike Sims Walker do? Seriously.
I think that's it.
Mike Sims Walker seems like, you know, I don't follow his Twitter religiously, but
Mini T.O. You remember he's Mini T.O.?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He's always. It seems like he's always up for a good time, right? On the Twitter.
Yeah.
I hope he's been wise with the money. You know, I didn't play that long in the National Football League. Today, we will get into the whole Winston Mariota thing, courtesy of Mike Mayock, who probably did it for the clicks. Maybe not. I don't know. But we'll get into that debate a little bit today. Is it conceivable that the Bucs may actually not take the guy we all think they're going to take at number one? Even Mayock concedes, look, he has Mariota ranked number one. He still thinks Winston will go number one. To the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we'll get into that a little bit today. Busy week here, all right? I mean, just with all the guys coming in.
Yeah, and I just posted the full list of 20 guys who came through here.
You got it right in front of you?
I do.
Give it to us, top to bottom. We probably covered most
of
them.
Go to Jacksonville.com.
Come on. Give it to us on Jaguars Today. Give us 19 of them, okay. And then they can go for the last one.
Okay, I'm going to read them fast. Buck Allen, Eric Armstead, Vic Beasley, Michael Bennett, Landon Collins, Amari Cooper, Dante Fowler, Melvin Gordon, Rashad Green, Randy Gregory, Todd Gurley, Eli Harrell for Virginia, Cedric O from A&M, Devontae Parker, Andres Pete, Shane Ray, DeAndre Smelter, Trey Waynes, Leonard Williams, TJ Yeldon.
DeAndre Smelter. That's my guy in this draft this year. The Smelter. Cedric Abui. Come on, Cedric. Oh, you're better than that, Ryan O'Halloran.
Abui.
Abui. That's the way I've been told it was pronounced.
So the G is silent.
I guess. I don't know. I've never bothered really look at the letter combinations. I think I went to a pronunciation guide once.
Right.
To look it up. But he's an interesting guy. What do you make of the fact that they're bringing in some relatively high-profile tackle prospects here?
It would have made a lot of sense 2 months ago.
Sure, before Parnell, right?
Yeah, you know, with a buoy. Be interesting, you coming off the ACL. Is it Aaron Cullen been revisited? I mean, somebody's going to take him with that in mind.
Who was it, though, the other day that was saying, from what they hear, they're like, oh, Bowie's not getting out of the first round. I can't remember which pundit it was that was like, I talked to a bunch of decision makers, and they're like, this guy will not fall out. The interesting thing about him was he didn't have a great year before he got hurt.
He couldn't, I mean, I didn't bring my stuff with me, but he, like, right tackle, left tackle, okay.
Then he moved him inside.
And then left tackle opened up when Matthews left last year, and they kept him at right tackle. So, okay, how do they feel about him there? So, I mean, I don't think his stock was great when he got hurt.
Right. I like the versatility, and I'm sure, you know, teams will like that as well. But at one point, you probably could have found a pundit that suggested he could be the number one overall pick, certainly a top 10 pick. We're talking going back a couple of years now. So, you know, he's got the ability. Who knows how far he falls in the draft and at what point, you know, does it become of value. But I find it hard to believe Andres Pete out of Stanford. Nobody seems to think he's going to get out of the first round. Mm-hmm. I mean, what?
I think you're getting into now is trade down options.
But is he? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is that an option for the Jags that they trade down now with Parnell on board?
I would say no, but I don't know why.
And look, you don't have to get all wrapped up in the names. Maybe they're just doing some due diligence, but they're not going to do. You wouldn't expect due diligence on Marcus Mariota, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, when they drafted Marquise Lee last year, I don't think they got caught with their pants down, so to speak, because they had a report on him and they took him. But maybe they're trying to be more on point in case a guy does fall to them at 37. You know, one of these guys may fall.
True.
And let's say one guy's there at 27 and you've traded down, you want to get back up. So I think you got 30 visits. Maybe you didn't get to meet a guy at the combine. Maybe you want to get to know him a little bit more. I mean,
I guess. The Marquise Lee thing, though, you knew wide receiver was a big priority for them last year, or needed to be a priority.
Sure.
And you thought even maybe it was going to be the first pick of the draft for them. The third pick overall was going to be a Sammy Watkins type guy.
Yeah.
So, not surprising that you do all your due diligence on receivers here. I mean, from everything they tell us, Luke Jokel's their guy. I saw the report the other day, put on 10 pounds of muscle so far this offseason. He needs to continue to add some weight there. And obviously Parnell made the investment in him. It just seems a little bit odd to me. But.
Well, and also just keep in mind, like you have these visits. I would be just a first glance at these. It doesn't look like any of these guys were Senior Bowl guys. So, they're able to cast a wide net because
sure.
They have an 80-player head start on everybody else, them and the Titans. So, as far as I like the Rashad Green thing, I think he'd be a good option because he can play inside. He can, some teams see him as a punt returner right away. And then the other thing, while we're saying why they bring this guy in, why do you bring Trey Wayans in?
Yeah, I never really got either.
You can make that case for probably seven or eight guys here.
Right. So. All right. We'll get into some of that today. We'll hear some sound from some of the guys who were visiting over the last couple of days, courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com, where we encourage you. Look, we play you a little snippet. If you want to get the full experience of what these guys are about, listen into what Brian Sexton's conversations entail by going to Jaguars.com. There are a bunch of them up there on some of the latest draft prospects out there. The number, if you'd like to get on board today, is 641-1010. Today, fan feedback spotlight. I think this is a fun one. And obviously, you got to be into the draft a little bit, but we hope we've coached you up if you're not into it all that much. Probably a lot of you out there are into it even more than we are, and that's fine. But we ask you today, with 3 weeks to go until the draft begins, give us three players that you would like to see end up on the Jags, regardless of round. Maybe you have a late-round favorite. Maybe you have a guy you'd love to see them take with the third overall pick. Maybe you have a couple of picks that would likely be first-rounders in some kind of trade-down scenario with Cleveland, for instance. So give us three guys you'd like to see end up as Jacksonville Jaguars. You can tweet us today at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL, Tyler as well. And jump on board with that. 641-1010. You can always post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. So we got a lot cooking for you here today. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today just getting rolling live from Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tony, why do we wonder about anything anymore, right? Because I'm lazy and I can't type in Mike Sims Walker into Google.
Right?
Right? Dave DeCandis, outstanding video producer, perhaps the best video producer that Jaguars.com has ever had. Would you
say
agree?
Say it a little louder.
That?
He's right down the hall.
I know. That's what I'm saying it real loud. I know Pete Cav's on his honeymoon. So, Dave DeCandis came down from his office all the way down the hall, Tony, listening to Jaguars Today, probably just because we're loud, not because he has the radio on necessarily in his office. I think that's the more likely solution. And told us Mike Sims Walker. Which he knew he was on the UCF staff, but he had to look up exactly what his role is. He is defensive quality control coach?
Yes.
Defensive quality control coach.
I didn't even know they had quality control in college.
Yeah, sure.
Because you're allowed only so many slots.
I guess. I don't know. That's what he is. Mike Sims-Walker, a UCF Knight legacy.
Are we breaking them, breaking rules? If there's only so
UCF has slots. Exceeded their allotment of coaching slots, and we have brought their
They've
program.
They've foregone a defensive coordinator this year to have a quality control coach.
Brought the program to their knees, Ryan O'Halloran. You know, this whole draft process is amusing to me. I do enjoy it, but I do see the silliness of it as well. Rashad Perryman, the UCF receiver, a lot of people like him. I mean, I've watched some of his, I don't want to say his film, you know, but I've seen highlights of him, and he does look like he gets off the line extremely quickly and gets up to full speed and gets behind secondaries a lot. But he's shooting up draft boards, and I'm trying to think, other than running some sub 4.3 40s at his pro day, what has he done differently?
Kuiper's got him at 10. His mock draft this morning, he has
10
him
overall.
At 10,
10 overall
to St. Louis.
10 overall.
Well, he's going to be the. I think he's going to. Perryman is going to be the classic guy where he is rated at one tier by the outside world, and then the teams he's going to go like 19th or 24th. Now,
so you think he's being overrated maybe by the pundits?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys like that every year. I mean, look at Sharif Floyd is like the classic example. You know, top five pick.
And ended up going like 24th, right?
24th. So somebody's going to get decent value. But it just shows you that when, you know, we grasp at every information we have because we don't have all the information.
Sure.
You know, so, you ran a 4-whatever 40. Very impressive. Okay, so we probably put him up higher on our unofficial board than, you know, might not impact somebody else's board as much because they look at the game tape and they say, okay, you know, he doesn't use that speed the right way or doesn't get out of his brakes, whatever. So
that's the thing about the guys like Mike Mayock, though, because they're going to preach, it's tape, tape, tape. We watch a tape, tape, tape. And the combine is just, you know, more about the medical checks and the interviews with teams. And yet a guy runs an eye-popping 40, and he goes shooting up all these guys' draft boards.
Well, this happened, a couple weeks ago when McShay changed his mock draft to have the Jags taking Amari Cooper. It's just something to create a little buzz. I mean, for Mayock to say, well, I'm switching my rankings, but I still think Winston's going first.
That one I don't have a problem if you're going to say.
But here's the reason why they do that. They're not doing it for any other reason is that they need to create some web traffic. They need to create some TV buzz. That's all they're doing.
Granted, but if you really believe, like Andrew Luck, nobody was rating. Not maybe there were one or two people were rating RG3 over Andrew Luck, but nobody who had Andrew Luck over RG3 the whole way. 3 weeks to go to the draft, switch the rankings. That's what I don't get. Look, Winston goes to the Bucks, doesn't go to the Bucks. What do I really care in the end, right? I mean, I'm a Florida State fan, fine. They've had plenty of first-round quarterbacks under Jimbo Fisher. Most of them haven't panned out. My outcome, he's not going to come here and play for the Jags. That much I know. That's what I'm concerned with.
Now it's just for entertainment purposes.
But I look at a guy like Mayock, and he says, I've been struggling with this. Well, what has changed to tip the balance to put Mariota ahead of Winston at this point?
Well, that's what as Jim Wyatt from the Tennessee made a good point yesterday. He cited off-the-field concerns.
Did we not know about those?
Nothing has happened. Nothing that we know of has happened in the last 3 months. So
he cited first-half interceptions.
Yeah, that's, those are the same.
We've known about those since the fall. He says, the more I watch the Mariota tape, I'm thinking, if you are the lead analyst for the NFL Network on the draft, you're just getting around to watching the Marcus Mariota tape? I don't know that
statement says I'm just getting around to watching it. I think that you can change your opinion the more you watch of a guy. I think your opinion can get more in-depth. And to be fair to him, he's been saying Jameis and Mariota are tied together this entire process. Like, he hasn't said that Jameis Winston is head and shoulders better than Marcus Mariota as a prospect at all in this process. And he's not saying that about Mariota against Winston now. He's saying that he's just leaning Mariota, and he wasn't doing that a week ago.
I guess.
I can't believe there's a decision to be made.
Well, I mean,
looking at the Gruden QB camp shows the other night, which were just god-awful. Mariota, you couldn't get...
God-awful in what regard? Because I haven't seen him yet.
Didn't learn anything.
Okay.
Rip through them. It's only a half hour apiece.
No, I know. Well, I'm not going to waste my time on Bryce Petty.
The Hundley one was pretty good because I think he's got some charisma and will know how to lead.
Hundley is actually, we had him on at the Super Bowl, was phenomenal.
Yes.
Really, I mean, in terms of makeup, what you look for in a quarterback, I think he's got it in spades.
Yeah, and you know, the Mariota, just to me, it just like, okay, tell me something about what you ran at Oregon. You know, and so I'm looking forward to
Didn't get that, you're saying, from...
Didn't get that. It got a lot of yes sirs.
Yeah. He's a very mute personality. Yeah, like, so every time I've seen him talk or address the media or any of that kind of... He's just a very subdued guy.
Yeah, he's the opposite of Bortles.
Yeah.
You don't want Johnny Manziel, obviously, at this point, but you got to have a little... You got to have a little something, right?
You want Blake Bortles.
Yeah, you want Blake... I mean, Blake is what you would want. He's not overly cocky, but he's confident in himself. He carries himself. Right. He has a presence about him. And most quarterbacks do. Most good, successful. Probably every successful quarterback does. As talented as Jay Cutler is, that's what he's lacking. Right? I mean, he's got all the talent, but he's lacking the software to put the whole thing together and get the most out of himself, it seems.
The Bears will be a wild card that night.
For Mariota or just in general?
For trading for Mariota.
Yeah. Boy, who would you take on? I saw Pete Prisco tweet or write that he thinks the Bears would be, he says, the Bears would make a mistake if they traded Cutler for Mariota. There, I said it. Now, that may be more reflection on Mariota, but at this point, who's going to win anything with Jay Cutler in the National Football League?
Especially if you're a new regime like they have there, is okay.
You don't have to win this year.
Yeah, and he's not your guy.
Right.
So, you know, a year from now, he probably won't have any value.
If he didn't have $15 million guaranteed coming his way, would he? I mean, he'd probably be a lot more attractive as a trade option. You'd probably get somebody to try him because there's always somebody who thinks they can rectify whatever past wrongs have gone on. But
he probably would have ended up cut then if they, you know, if he wasn't a $50 million.
Possibly. I think you'd get something for Jay Cutler. I can't imagine you're going to get any team to take on that salary, though.
No, and he's been a short-term success wherever he's gone, right? I mean, it's a year or two where it's really good with Jay, and then it kind of falls apart wherever he happens to be, which is why when they signed that long-term contract, it was like, why are you doing this with Jay Cutler? We get that you don't want to go back into the we got to find a quarterback pool, but here you are a year after signing that contract, and you're dipping your toe back in the we got to go find a quarterback pool because of what's going on in your locker room with that particular guy, which is what's happened everywhere Jay's gone. As much as I love the guy because I'm a Vanderbilt fan, that's what happens with Jay. He's a super talented guy that has no leadership skills, and so after a year or two, everyone's sick of him.
And it's funny because they say, well, maybe he'll go home to Nashville. They'll bring him home, right, to Tennessee and all that. And, Tony, how many times have we brought up the example of Doug Marrone and Ryan Nassib, right?
Like, sure.
Well, his coach, he's going to bring him home to Buffalo because he coached him at Syracuse. Well, you also know, you know, the closer you are to the situation, you know all the flaws as well as the positives. So maybe that steers you away from him even more. Alfie Crow tweeting at me from Big Cat Country that Mike Sims-Walker played cornerback, not quarter, but cornerback for a season at UCF. And so that makes sense that he could play or be a defensive quality control coach. What the hell is a quality control coach do?
I have no idea.
What do you got?
I mean,
come on, NFL guy.
For quality control for here, it's you you do the cut-ups. Like, I remember I did a story of Tony Sorrentino last year. I said, take me through your early part of the week. They advance scout a little bit. They make sure all the cut-ups are, you know, organized in third down, red zone, et cetera, et cetera. And then a big part of it is they do the practice plan. Which is all on PowerPoint now. They used to have to draw it up on cards.
But do they put it together, or do they take it and put the presentation of it together?
Well, they, like, let's say you're Greg Olson. You say, okay, these are the things.
Here's what we're going to do. Put it together for me.
This is what I want to work on, and these guys put it together, you know, and load it into
the more you know
iPads. But, yeah, I mean, it's an entry level. For a guy like Mike Sims-Walker, it's an entry level position. I think it shows pretty good want to, because that means he wants to get into it.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Look, I have no knock on it. I'm glad he's doing something than hanging out on Twitter.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, based on the rules, whether that falls under designation. Is he allowed to recruit or is it
right? Is he a coach? Coach? Is he? Does he count against the limit?
That's what I was getting for at the start of the segment. I wasn't calling for them to be invested.
Oh come on!
Yes, I was.
Mayock's got Melvin Gordon over Todd Gurley. Don't know how much that is the injury factor weighing into that, but all those things obviously factor in. Boy, I mean, I guess look, Melvin Gordon is a hell of a player. No question about it. Todd Gurley, man. I got more SEC bias than I want to admit. I'm not even an SEC guy, but Todd Gurley's the goods if he's healthy. If you knew Todd Gurley was healthy, I don't think this is even a conversation, do you? Or is it?
No, I mean, the perfect scenario for the Jags would have been if they had won a couple more games this past year and they would have been in, let's say they would have drafted 11th or 12th.
What about the perfect scenario just being traded down with Cleveland and getting the 12 and the 19? Or as part of the package, whatever, however the rest of the details work out.
I was talking a scenario where you wouldn't have to move down, but let's say you're drafting 11th or 12th, just take Gurley.
That's what I'm saying.
Take him at 3.
What if you could get, instead of having the 12th pick, what if you could get the 12th and the 19th pick and get Gurley at one of those spots? I think 19, the more I'd be, if I really wanted Gurley, I don't think he's making it to 19, you know?
I don't think so either. One of these running backs is going to go to San Diego at 17, 16, 18.
That's what 17 is what San Diego has. That's what a lot of speculation has. Who had Gurley mocked to the Dolphins the other day? Was it McShay?
Brugler.
That's right. Dane Brugler had him mocked to the Dolphins at 14. The Dolphins yesterday, the story was they're contacting teams in the top 10 to gauge the price, with the ostensible target being Kevin White, the receiver out of West Virginia, being their guy. Here's what the issue I have. Maybe they're right, whoever's reporting this. I don't doubt that Miami is gauging the price, the market, what it would cost to get up into the top 10. By the way, they only have like 5 draft picks, so they're a little hamstrung there. But how do you know it's Kevin White? You know, are the Dolphins saying, hey, we'd like to get up and get Kevin White, so what would it cost us to get to number 4, number 5? I don't know how they know that, or if that's just an educated guess that goes along with that.
Educated guess.
Probably.
Miseducated.
Probably so.
But the Dolphins are at, what are they at right now?
14.
Okay, 14 up to, let's say they've got to get ahead of Oakland.
Well, they got to come to Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the Dolphins have the juice for what Dave Caldwell would want to get out of there, unless they're giving up, you know,
next year's
first, but and more than that. I think it would take more than 14 of the Dolphins first next year, because the Dolphins right now are thinking, we're going to win a lot of games this year.
No, it'd probably be 14 plus their second-round pick next year and the first next year and maybe one more pick,
right?
Honestly.
Right. I don't think Dave Caldwell's making that move down into the mid-teens without a hole coming back his way, so I don't think the Jags are a likely.
I'd be very surprised if he moves at all.
If Dave Caldwell moves at all?
Yeah.
Because you don't think he'll get what he wants, or you think he'll get fixated on one or two guys that he thinks the drop-off is too significant?
That.
All right. Well,
both. I think they see the opportunity to get a really, really good player at 3, and they're going to take him.
All right. We'll get more into that. Who might that player be? We'll take some of your calls as well. It's 641-1010. So hang on the line if you're there right now. We'll hear coming up a little bit later on some of the thoughts of Todd Gurley, Rashad Green, Andres Pete in for a visit, Randy Gregory here as well, all visiting with the Jags and visiting with you courtesy of Brian Sexton at Jaguars.com, where we encourage you to listen. We'll play a soundbite. We'll go listen to the full interview with these guys and see if you can get a sense of what they're all about and whether or not they'd fit in with your Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you. Live from Everbank Field, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tom Watson won off the lead at Augusta. A couple of birdies, maybe 3 birdies, 2 bogeys today for Tom Watson. So, playing some pretty good golf. Woodland Henley tied at 2 under par atop your Masters leaderboard. First wave still all getting out on the front nine.
Yeah.
What are you grinning at over there?
I love Augusta so much because we get the opportunity to talk about guys like Tom Watson, and you were just mentioning Ben Crenshaw out on the course. Look, he's not going to be in competition, but it's cool to see those guys get the opportunity to play still at least one tournament a year. I adore the Masters.
Yeah, we were just talking on the break, like, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys out there on tour? I heard stories that Tom Watson is as tough to deal with as anybody out there, but because he's, you know, 60 whatever, and he almost won the British Open, we're like, hey, Tom, old man, we love you.
By the way, Tom Watson, 1,000-1 odds to win the Masters.
I think I would bet 1,000 to win one on that. No matter how much I'd like to see it happen, I think those are too short, those odds. They need to be a little bit longer for Tom to actually win the Masters. 6-4-1-10-10 is the number. Jaguars today. Watson winning the Masters?
Oh, my goodness.
Kidding me? Oh, what would be bigger, though? How about Greg Norman somehow qualifying for Augusta? How would he get
in? Give me a Watson-Woods final pairing on Sunday, and my gosh. Crazy.
Wouldn't everybody be rooting against Tiger in that scenario? Maybe not everybody. There's still going to be some Tiger diehards regardless.
We really haven't had a Phil Tiger Master
finale. Yeah.
So
that'd be good.
Yeah.
Throw Bubba in there and among the last group.
Rory.
Chasen, yeah.
Yeah, Rory Tiger would be interesting. Rory would shoot 80. Tiger would chip it over the green 6 times. Great.
The yips finally came back on Sunday.
Here comes Ola Thabo.
There's 71 holes. The yips have returned.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go with Garrett first up today on Jaguars today. Hello, Garrett. How are you?
Doing good. How y'all doing?
Good.
Question I got is, I really think Todd Gurley is the best running back in the NFL draft. And I know Melvin Gordon had pretty good numbers last year, but you're not going to rip off 15 runs, a 40-plus run, 40-yard runs that many times in your NFL career. And if you look at Todd Gurley and go back to his tape, every play he was running people over or breaking tackles. The man is a physical beast, and I really think the Jaguars should draft him.
Draft him at 3?
They should trade down and trade number 3 pick to where they can draft, you know, get a high.
I got you.
You know, later first-round pick or something like that, because I really think we should draft Amari Cooper, because Justin Blackman we still don't know what's going on with that. And it's an offense-driven league. You can always pick up a defensive player, and Fowler, Gregory, or Williams, they're not going to score your point.
Well, Garrett, you covered a lot of bases there. So
Where do you want to jump in, Ryan?
Let's go with Gurley. I'm sure a lot of teams would agree with you that he is the best running back on the board. I mean, some teams may have him as one of the top players on the board. It all depends on, okay, who's going to pull the trigger that needs a running back and is also willing to wait a half a season.
Perhaps. Maybe a full year for the full return.
I think still it's going to be the odds that it's going to be a team that has that luxury, which is, you know, bottom half of the first round. Whoever gets him is going to get what you think would be a star. As for the Jaguars drafting Amari Cooper at 3, I'd be fascinating to see how he's worked into that offense. I just think they feel like they have other needs, and also the depth of the receiver class. They feel they can get a good guy second round, third round, et cetera.
I just don't see any reasonable scenario where they get both of those guys. Though, you know, I don't see.
No.
You know, if you did a trade back like with Cleveland, Cooper's off the board. You might be able to get Gurley at that range with one of those picks, but Cooper's going to be gone.
Gurley's more realistic.
In a trade-back scenario.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I think the conversation with Cooper is similar to me as the one with Leonard Williams, if he's available to the Jags at 3-2. Because of what they have at the positions where you would be playing Leonard Williams, there's some discussion right now about if he's available, is that still the guy you pick? And I think when you look at Leonard Williams, you say, is that a guy in 5 years, if we pass on him, we're looking back going, what were we thinking not drafting Leonard Williams? And I think you almost have to have the same thought about Amari Cooper for him to be the pick at 3 with the opportunity to go get a pass rusher, which they don't have any right now. I think that you do have to look at Amari Cooper, and if he's a guy that you feel like in 5 years you're going to be looking back and going, he's putting up 1,500 yards a year, he's catching 10 touchdowns a year, what were we thinking passing on Amari Cooper, then he's worth it at number 3. I'm not convinced Amari Cooper's that type of player, which is why I'm not for them picking Amari Cooper.
Right, and in terms of the defensive thing, I know it's an offensive league and all that, but by that token, you can make the argument, well, the team that can slow the other team's offense has a great advantage. Look, Seattle's been to the Super Bowl consecutive years on the strength primarily of their defense running game, right?
Yeah.
New England, what happened with New England this year? They got a bunch of defensive players healthy that weren't healthy the year before. They didn't add anything really on offense. They lost Stephen Ridley. They picked up LeGarrette Blount midway. They had a healthier Rob Gronkowski, no question about that. But their additions really were internal additions that they got better on the defensive side of the football. Defense is critically important. We were talking about it yesterday. If you could go back to, 2012 draft, J.J. Watt versus Cam Newton. Who you take? You're taking J.J. Watt, aren't you? As important as the quarterback position is, I'm taking J.J. Watt over Cam Newton.
Taking Blaine Gabbert.
Of course you are. Of course you are, because you're a diehard.
Well, I mean, if you do that redraft, then J.J. be one.
Cam might be two. I mean, because, look, it's not like Cam's been a flop. It's just J.J. Watt is transcendent, and that's what we're talking about. If you think... And I'm not saying that Leonard Williams is that guy or Dante Fowler is that guy, but if Dave Caldwell thinks they're that guy, you take a transcendent player at almost any position over a very good player at a more of a position of need.
Yeah, I mean, look at the top ten. Von Miller was second. Can't argue that one. Patrick Peterson, fifth. Julio Jones, sixth. I mean, you look at it four years later, Atlanta's moved to trade that far up.
Worked out great.
It's just like, okay, when's the next time you're going to see that?
Particularly when, and we've done this before, when you look at the players that Cleveland actually retained with those picks, the only one who's still on the roster is Phil Taylor, tackle. He's just a nice guy, nice player, but he's not a game-wrecking, game-changing type player. He was, you know, Julio Jones can be that guy when he's healthy. Let's get Maurice up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Maurice.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
I hear a lot of guys talk about Amari Cooper at three, and, you know, I think that would be a little bit of a reach. Honestly, I'd rather trade out because I don't really think there's too much of a difference between Dante Fowler and Vic Beasley. So you guys said name three guys you'd want in the draft. Me personally, I would rather trade down and get a guy like Fowler, but I don't know if he will be available outside of the top five, maybe not. Or
probably
him or Vic Beasley. I don't really think you can go wrong with either one of them.
Well, if you trade out of three, you're basically saying you don't mind Beasley over Fowler.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Or you don't mind Beasley plus whatever else you're getting. It depends on, you know, I think we talked about this yesterday when John Osier was in, Tony. The ideal scenario for the Jags, you trade down to five with Washington. I just don't think Washington's going to be inclined to make that move for Mariota as long as RG3 is on the board. I don't see them giving up, say, a first and second round pick to get that deal done. But if you do trade back to five, you're presuming the two quarterbacks, Leonard Williams, are gone. You got Fowler or Beasley staring you in the face. And worst case scenario, you get your least favorite of those guys. And I think most everybody could live at that when you factor in the additional pick that you're going to get on top of that. Mm-hmm. So
who are your other two names? Are you still there?
Maurice, go ahead. Who are your other two?
The other two names I had, you know, in the second and third round, to me, I know it's a deep running back class and everyone loves Gurley and everything, but I agree with you guys. I don't think he gets to the second round. So I would say T.J. Yeldon, man, in the second round, I think he's the most underappreciated or underrated running back in the draft that nobody talks about. I'm not saying he's the best, but I think he's the most underrated that nobody talks about. And in round three, I take the kid from Kansas State, man, Lockett. I think he's a good receiver, also very underrated. And, you know, obviously it seems like we're interested in Greg Jennings. We don't know what's going on with Blackman, but if both of those guys come back and if we sign Jennings, I don't know if that would change the approach of when to draft a receiver. So those are the three guys I would have.
Oh, yeah, the fact that nothing's happened on Jennings, you know.
Seem to think nothing will happen.
Although,
but you look at the Jets signing Stephen Ridley, okay? That was a visit a couple weeks ago, looked at Buffalo, kind of floated around, and ended up going back to one of the teams. So maybe Jennings is going to get the lay of the land. Even if you were to sign Greg Jennings, I don't think it stops you from drafting a guy who you think can fill that role going forward for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and let's just say Yeldon, you have some company in terms of people thinking he's unheralded, you know. People like the fact he can run inside. He played in the SEC, so he has a lot of you know, good things about him. And then Lockett, had him at the Senior Bowl. He can play inside. He can return punts and kicks. I mean, I think he'd be a great choice because, you know, even if you like Dorsett, he's probably not going to make it to where you need to pick him.
And we don't. I mean, Yeldon, second round, third round. Who you really don't know where these guys are going to go because you don't know. You didn't know. Like as much as people said, well, you could have gotten Blake Bortles last year if you traded back to nine, say with Buffalo, right? Well, just as people didn't know how strongly the Jags felt, you didn't know how strongly Cleveland could have felt about that guy. So it is a guessing game.
Yeah, and that's the basis for why I think they stay put is they value. They value a guy that they don't think
they want to miss out on.
They don't want to miss out on. And also, in terms of the running back and receiver, where the Jags don't have any flexibility is they don't have any extra picks. So maybe you draft a running back or a receiver earlier than you want because you know a run of guys is coming up and you're not going to be able to get back up and be a part of that.
So Duval Doom tweets, hey guys, tweet Mike and Tony about how much you hate it when they talk about other sports. It's their favorite thing. Do it. In honor of Duval Doom now, you can Duval Doom will bring you all our further Masters updates for the next couple of days. It'll all be courtesy of Duval Doom. I'll make sure I throw in a few extra ones for you, Doom, just for you. So as much as you hate it, keep telling me how much you hate it. We'll come back with a Masters update.
Do you know the Braves are 3-0, Mike?
Is that right?
3-0,
Yankees
Braves.
Yankees won their first game yesterday, Tony, as well, with thanks to a couple of hit-by-pitches and a wild pitch or two thrown in. I appreciate all those miscues by the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll get to that later if we have time in between Masters updates here. Coming up, this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hower, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. You know, the NFL is stickler for little uniform violations, right? Didn't just start recently. 1945, the NFL started requiring players to wear, quote, long stockings on this date in 1945. I think Joe Namath took that a little too seriously back in the 1960s. Happy birthday, former Jaguar Brian DeMarco, born on April 9th, 1972. Let's go in the way, way, way back machine. April 9th, 1898. Happy birthday, Curly Lambeau.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Curly Lambeau. I was a member of the all-decade team of the 1920s. His positions were listed as TB, all right, tailback, FB, fullback, E, which is an end.
End.
What is BB? Blocking back? What the heck is BB? What do you got, O'Halloran? Football historian?
That would probably be my guess.
Blocking back?
Yeah.
I don't know what else it could be. I'm sure it could be plenty of other things.
I thought for a moment you were taking a tweet we got about doing this date in baseball history seriously when you said 1898.
Oh, Alexander Cartwright.
Right, I was like, 1898. We are getting back into baseball.
We could be going back. Cleveland Spiders, Tony. Maybe Cap Anson we could talk about back at the turn of the century. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. They want to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price and still provide you unsurpassed customer service. Invest in your home with fencing from the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. For more information, that is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The New York Jets signed free agent running back Stephen Ridley to a one-year contract. Ridley is still just 26 years old, but coming off a torn ACL last year. The Carolina Panthers will have free agent cornerback Peanut Tillman in for a visit with the team today. The murder trial of Aaron Hernandez we'll move into its third day of deliberations today. The jury was dismissed yesterday without any decision being made after a full day of deliberating. It's liar season in the NFL. We talked about this a moment ago, but take everything you hear with a grain of salt. There are reports that the Miami Dolphins are showing enough interest in wide receiver prospect Kevin White that they are contacting teams to see what the cost will be to get into the top 10. As you pointed out earlier, Ryan, I say if you really want Kevin White, you got to get a hole ahead of the Oakland Raiders at 4 for sure, right? We don't know what they're thinking, but wide receiver certainly attached to that team. Miami currently picking 14th in the upcoming draft.
Yes, see if they'll make that move. Again, I don't think Miami is a logical trade partner unless they're willing to really put it all on the line for this 1 year. But, you know, some of the thought is they want to get one or two more difference makers if they possibly can, because Dominican Sue's cap figure is going to get astronomical in very short order, really beyond this year, which could make it more difficult for them to go out and add more free agents to that team. You know?
Yeah, I mean, inexpensive guy who would turn into a playmaker would help their cap situation.
Big time.
And also, if you trade up for that guy, you're creating a lot of cap space by all the draft picks you're trading.
True. You're not having to sign the although that's probably negligible in the big picture with the way the rookie wage scale
is. Well, let's say you trade next year's first and this year's second. That's $6 million for the cap space.
That's true.
So, well, you got Sue and, I mean, right now he's on his rookie deal, but Tannehill. That they're trying to figure out, too. I mean, the money that's going to be coming on the books for the Dolphins is going to be extreme here over the course of the next couple of years.
Jags Press Box tweeting at us, would you do this deal? Cleveland's first two first-round picks, 12 and 19, and Alex Mack
for
the number three. Please?
Yep.
Please? Yes, I absolutely would. Now, Mack obviously has the right to opt out of his deal, and I saw a story yesterday, and I'm sure this is what he's alluding to. There's speculation that he... You know, even coming off injury, he's probably going to play out the season and opt out of it. Obviously, the Jags were very interested in Alex Mack last year. That's the contract that Cleveland went out and matched. And knowing that Alex Mack could opt out of that deal after another year, but I got to believe, you know, you get him in here and you put him on that offensive line and add two first-round picks on top of that. That's a deal I think most people would take, don't you think?
Yeah, and really that was one of the ulterior motives when they signed Mack was, hey, you know, you're planting the seed for a year or two down the road. You know,
exactly.
So.
Yeah, and look, that's not a shot at Luke Bawanka, who far surpassed expectations. You're right, in the sixth round. You're right. But, I mean, even now, if you were to go out and acquire that kind of guy, they don't, you know, there aren't many guys in that category. I just can't see Cleveland making that offer. You see the speculation that Philadelphia, in their effort to get Marcus Mariota, again, speculation, want to use Bradford to acquire the picks from Cleveland to use those picks then in turn. It's such a convoluted road would be to travel, right?
And one item people are using to give this a legitimacy, you can't buy a Sam Bradford Eagles jersey. They're not for sale.
Well, and that's not because of anything the Eagles have done. That's because the retailers are like, we don't know what the hell Chip Kelly's going to do, and they're afraid to print a bunch of those things.
But who knows what Chip Kelly's – until somebody takes Marcus Mariota, that's when I'll stop believing the Eagles are making a play for him.
Philly's got 20, right? Mm-hmm. If they could get 12 – we'll take 12, 19, and 20.
Yeah.
We'll take that, right?
You can have Marcus Mariota.
We'll throw our third round pick coming back to you.
Right.
Okay. We'll take you three firsts, and we'll have 36, which we'll trade down from and acquire multiple picks later on. And
basically, Mike Dempsey's perfect Jaguar.
I got it all. We got three first round picks now.
Is eight of the top 42 picks.
Why not?
That'd be sweet.
You got to swing big.
That'd be a hell of a year.
You got to swing big. All right, let's get a couple of calls in here. 641-1010. Let's get Ian up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Doing great, guys. You guys are always talking about what a well-run organization the Jaguars are, and I got to experience a little bit of that yesterday. Baptist Health and the Jaguars put on this thing called Growing Up Jags for a bunch of families with young kids. And we got to go behind the scenes into the locker room. They took some pictures of us and the kids. And then we got to go out onto the field, take some pictures with Jackson DeVille. And then they brought us back inside and fed us lunch. And it was just, you know, really neat to get a chance to see that behind the scenes stuff. And the Jaguars are just such a well-run organization off the field that I'm, you know, I just cannot wait till the on the field production matches what they're doing off the field. And, you know, it was just a really neat thing, and I just want to say thank you to the Jaguars for putting that on and allowing that kind of access to the fans. And one other funny thing, when we were walking back to the cafeteria from the field, Dave Caldwell and another gentleman walked out of a room, and I said, oh, wow, did we get to see the draft board, too? Apparently that wasn't part of the behind-the-scenes tour, but
it was still really fun. It was a good try, Ian. I would have tried the same thing. Dave walked by our studio this morning, and just as he was getting out of earshot, I was like, Who are you taking? He didn't stop and tell me either, Ian. So.
I think if I was a GM, I'd have a fake draft board, and about 2 or 3 days before the draft,
the picture.
I would just start like, okay, you know, I'm tired of you guys hassling me. If you want to peek, you got 10 seconds. Take in as much as you
can. 10 seconds.
Right?
That'd be awesome.
Of a fake draft board.
Oh, man, that would be that. See, guys like Ryan
just
would
get
upset.
Just be like, you're not allowed to talk about it. You can't tell anybody about what you've seen.
But here's a look.
Right. That's kind of a test.
That would bother you, though.
Who actually has your confidence.
What? Do tell. Come on.
You've experienced this?
Have you seen
this? Has someone done this to you, Ryan?
Yes. I'll tell a story off the air.
Oh, good. You know, Jerry Jones could get away with that because it seems like somebody gets a picture of his
every
draft board.
Year.
Right. At least twice in the last few years, it seems like some of that's leaked. All right, let's get Paul in here next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead. What's up?
Not much. A couple things. First thing, you guys alluded to Atlanta winning that trade with Cleveland and Garcia getting Julio Jones. I mean, do you really think they won that trade? I mean, they have a pretty bad roster outside of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. I mean, they could probably use some more depth. I mean,
they could, but if you look at what Cleveland directly got from that deal compared to what Atlanta got, Atlanta has a Pro Bowl caliber player. Cleveland got a bunch of stiffs who, most of whom are no longer on the team except with the exception of one guy, Phil Taylor, who's just an okay player. So yeah, in terms of if you compare them to Cleveland, could Atlanta have done better had they stayed there and made wiser picks with those selections? Well, Cleveland could have won that trade maybe if they had taken the best player, as it turned out, was available at that pick. But I do believe Atlanta won that deal handily.
Yeah, and we speak of Dave Caldwell. He was in the Atlanta front office for that trade. And I've asked him about that a couple of times. He said, you know, the talks started really early, like at the combine, because the Falcons knew they needed a receiver opposite Roddy White, and they knew the 2012 draft wasn't going to be a great receiver draft, and 2011 had no depth. Because you look at after Julio Jones went, the next receiver to go was Jonathan Baldwin at 26, and then Titus Young at 44.
Oh.
So from a Falcons perspective, at the time of that franchise, they were going for it.
They were there.
They
right.
were there.
They were there.
So, you know, the end result, I mean, they're in a swoon right now. I agree with the caller. But at the time, you couldn't have criticized the pick.
And look, we all sit back. We don't know what Atlanta would have drafted with those picks that they gave up. Maybe they would have swung and missed, much like Cleveland did with theirs. You know, I mean, it's one thing to go back and say, well, this guy was available, that guy was available. But that's with the clarity of hindsight. So, yeah, I do believe, and it's okay if you don't. Not a big deal. Appreciate the call, 641-1010, if you'd like to be a part of Jaguars Today this morning. We'll come back and we'll hear a little bit of the audio that Brian Sexton put up yesterday with some of the draft prospects that were in-house. Here's a snippet of each of those guys, including a guy like Todd Gurley, Randy Gregory, Rashad Green, the Florida State receiver, Andres Pete, an interesting visit. Having him come in here, not many people think he'd be a likely target for the Jags at any point based on where he's expected to come off the board and what they need right now at other spots. But we'll do that coming up. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Howard, and Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming back here, Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Howard, Florida Times Union, Fat Tony on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Let's get right into this, Tony. Here are a few cuts from yesterday as Todd Gurley and Rashad Green, Andres Pete, Randy Gregory, and others were featured on videos on Jaguars.com. Again, we'll play a little snippet. We encourage you to listen and check out the full interviews with all of these guys and get a better sense of what they're like and whether you think they'd be a good fit with the team. But this first cut, Tyler, explain to me. This is Todd Gurley, a Georgia video guy and a former Jags coach, comparing his running style to Fred Taylor. Or I guess that was the question. His running style by some has been compared to Fred Taylor. And what does Todd Gurley think about that?
I think Brett just trying to be nice. Trying to guess he's looking out for me for sure. But, I mean, that means a lot, you know, for a guy that work with this organization, and, you know, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't lie to you guys, I mean, especially from, you know, being, you know, partners with y'all, but it means a lot, you know, for a guy like Brett to say that about me. And Fred was a great guy, great running back, especially for the Jaguars over his career, so.
Well, what he was really saying was that combination of size and speed, because you're not just a speed guy, I can tell by the guns. You'll put your shoulder down and go after it, right?
Yes, sir. You know, I don't have the biggest upper body in the world, but I'm definitely working on it. And, you know, I think a lot of people underestimate my speed. And, you know, that's where I come into fact that sometimes.
Yeah, I would say maybe a little more powerful than Fred, a little less speedy than Fred, but a great combination of both. I think that's fair. I don't think necessarily of Fred Taylor when I see Todd Gurley, but I understand, you know, just those aspects of the game. He's not just a one trick pony.
Well, the other comp I've seen is Frank Gore, in terms of being able to extend some plays by running inside and making himself
so much more powerful than Frank Gore.
Make himself a little low.
I'm not trying to knock Frank Gore. Frank Gore has gotten it done for a lot of years in the NFL.
I think it's really hard to tell until you see him go up against NFL defense.
True.
Exactly what their true comparison is going
to
be.
Yeah, but you got to try to guess. I mean, yeah, but, you know.
I mean, I know that's part of the whole process here is that you do try to compare guys to other guys that we've seen before. I don't know that there's a lot of guys that can do what Fred did, and Gore is such a special guy. Like, it's almost not fair to heap those kind of things on guys that are coming into the league, but we do it constantly as they're coming in. Todd Gurley also yesterday talking with Brian Sexton on Jaguars.com. You can check out that interview about the 4-game suspension that he had last year.
Oh man, it sucked, you know, just for me making a dumb mistake, you know, from my freshman and sophomore year, and you know, and it coming back to haunt me, you know, this past year. You know, I was felt like I was having a great year, you know, one of the best years of my career at Georgia. And for me not being able to play, it hurted me, you know, not being able to go to the games. I was able to practice, but, I mean, you know you're not going to play. And it was definitely tough.
Does anybody care about that? I mean, I'm sure some people do. I guess.
I don't.
You know? One day these, I think sooner rather than later, these guys are going to get paid something, more compensation directly than they get in just a scholarship. And I think some of these issues are going to be in the past. I'd much rather have it be that than getting suspended for smoking dope or, you know, any kind of violent thing or anything like that. You know, drinking, public intoxication, which isn't, look, I get it. They're college kids, but much rather you sell your autograph. Then I'm not saying, you know, look, rules are rules, and I get it, and he deserved the suspension that came with it. But in terms of anything lingering for his NFL career, I don't think any NFL evaluator is going to be too concerned about that, is my guess.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Rashad Green, Brian Sexton asked him about, you know, pretty loaded Florida State team, and how did he fit into the role of being a leader in that group?
You know, I think it says a lot when you look at the talent in Tallahassee that you guys had. That you were one of four team captains and guys were looking up for you. Did you see it that way?
I definitely seen it. Saw it that way. You know, I felt like that was definitely my team, and I was, you know, a part of every success, and you know, the reason that team was successful in a way. You know, just one of the pieces to it. You know, just by being a leader to my group of receivers and being a leader to the entire team.
This is a guy I like.
You like? Tell us why.
Production. 50 games in college, 270 catches.
Most prolific receiver in FSU history.
So, I mean, you can count on him day in, day out. I remember covering that national title game against Auburn. He started that game-winning drive with a short catch that he made a guy miss and went down the field. So, I know one team thinks he can return punts productive-wise.
Productively.
Productively.
Yes.
Well, I'm a writer, not a broadcaster.
You can look that up in the AP style.
But, so I think he would fit in. I think he'd be a good fit here for where he plays, and you'll get good value. Let's say you draft him in the third round.
No, I'd love to see that kind of thing. Obviously, the slots where they're looking to address, and they still need help with that punt return position. Andres Pete also had the chance to sit down with Brian Sexton yesterday. Again, you can hear all these interviews on Jaguars.com, and he was asked about the advantage of having had a father who played in the National Football League.
Yeah, it's a huge advantage. You know, he could give me, you know, tips and advice, you know, whether it's on the field or, you know, this process, you know, right now, preparing for, you know, my first year. So, you know, we'd do a lot of stuff where we'd watch film, and I'd actually watch some of his old film from the NFL, and you know, kind of, you know, learn from the guys he played with, and you know, it's really helped me throughout my career.
I think it's an incredibly microscopically low chance that Andres Pete ends up a Jaguar.
Me too.
After the initial 2015 NFL draft. But let's skip ahead to his last question where I'm curious to see what he says about this. Brian asked Andres Pete about what position he prefers to play in the NFL.
I definitely like left tackle. You know, I played it throughout my whole college career, but I can also play right tackle as well. So just wherever, you know, the team sees me fitting in, I could play.
I would have questioned a Stanford guy's intelligence had he not said left tackle. That's where the money is, Andres. Okay, I think you're absolutely right. Had he said anything other than that, I think the smart answer is wherever they want me to play, I'm going to play, right? You want me to go out there and play middle linebacker, I'll play middle linebacker for you.
Probably not well.
Whether you mean it or not, I think, you know, coaches like that kind of can-do attitude.
Well, it's a plus for Pete. You look at these other O-line or specifically O-tackle guys is 27 starts all at the same spot, left tackle. So he's played there. You look at Collins, 25 at left tackle, 13 at left guard. Humphreys started 19 games in his career. And then, you know, Eric Flowers also started some right tackle. So I think that might help him, you know, increase his stock a little bit that he can be a plug-and-play guy at left tackle.
So I've talked about this before. Eric Flowers is getting a lot of positive buzz, right? And I can't get away from that one clip of I saw him during lineman drills where guy just went around him. He couldn't even get his hands up quick enough. He just looked like coming out of his stance like, I mean, he's a mammoth guy, but coming out of his stance, I'm like, is he going to be able to block any quick pass rusher in the National Football League? And I'm probably way taking this out of context, but I'm telling you, I have this clip of that from the combine in my head, and now I'm down on that guy as a prospect. I don't think it matters to the Jags because signing Jeremy Parnell probably shut down these avenues in the first couple of rounds.
Well, like I was listening to one analyst say, well, Eric Flowers, you got to watch his Florida State tape. You know, he handled Eddie Goldman. So what? It's an inside guy.
Right.
I mean, he's going to have to face.
It's impressive that you showed strength, but he's going to handle J.J. Watt.
Yeah, he's going to have to face tons of guys who are athletic and can get around them. So
that's probably an unfair bar.
Yes.
Go tell anybody to handle J.J. Watt.
It's an unfair comparison. Well, you know, like,
what he would do.
As you project guys who would be here. We're not doing that with Flowers, but you look at the positions. Is who are they going to face in this division twice a year?
Right.
So
that's one of them.
No, it certainly is. Randy Gregory, who may or may not be on the Jaguars draft board. Who knows? But with the failed drug test at the combine, he caught up with Brian Sexton yesterday as well on Jaguars.com. He talked about what he brings to a team.
Me? I'm unique. I'm versatile. I can do a lot of things. You know, I think at the lead position, they really want you to rush the passer. But with me, I can do a number of different things, and you know, I think my instincts as a player are way above average. You know, I think I see the game a little bit different than some of the other players, and I really try to incorporate that in my game, and I think that's one of the main reasons why I do well at what I do.
Let's skip ahead a question here, Randy Gregory.
Oh, you don't want to do the food one where he says he doesn't eat pasta?
Is that what he doesn't
eat?
Yeah.
Take him off the board.
Who the heck doesn't eat pasta? I watched all these
yesterday. I love your pasta.
I was very upset with Randy Gregory when he said that.
We'll see. So Randy Gregory doesn't eat pasta.
Don't like it.
We'll move along. And Brian Sexton, again, the full interviews at Jaguars.com, asked Randy Gregory if the Leo position here would be a good fit for him.
I think it does. I think it fits me better than anybody else in this draft. I think, you know, Coach Bradley feels the same way, and, you know, hopefully draft day, you know, it'll prove the same thing. But, what I do know is that I'll come to this league and I'm going to ball, I'm going to play hard, and I'm going to make plays regardless of where I'm at. But, it'd be nice to be at that Leo position doing that too.
You cannot take that guy at three. You can't.
You can't. And even before the test thing,
the size
too many injuries.
Issue, right. Yeah. All those things, but, you can't, beyond the failed test, which is incredibly dumb, for a guy who sounds very intelligent.
I was watching and listening to him, and I've watched all the interviews. He was the most impressive guy to watch.
To admit that it used to be a daily struggle, right. Daily struggle for you to get up in the morning and not smoke pot while you were at Nebraska. A daily struggle. I don't care if that's true. You got to be smart enough to censor yourself during this process. That. To forget it. I mean, maybe in some trade down scenario, maybe if he comes tumbling down the board, fine. No way that's the third pick in the draft.
Yeah, and Randy Gregory was asked about that on teams asking questions about that failed drug test.
Well, they're asking me all the right things. They're asking me all the things you expect them to ask me. But I think I have a real good plan laid out. I think, you know, when teams get in front of me, they really see me for who I am instead of what they see, you know, throughout the news. So right now, you know, a lot of people might call it damage control, but I'm being real optimistic with it. You know, I'm kind of looking at it as a blessing in disguise type deal, kind of like how I went to go to, you know, junior college before I went to Nebraska. So as long as I keep my head level and, you know, keep my spirits high, I think I'll be able to get through this, and I'm definitely planning on it.
All right, we shall find out. Hey, the bed has been made, and the laying in it is taking place. So, you know, 3 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft. Alvaro tweets, who from 1010 is going to be at the draft? I don't know if which of the TV guys. I assume Brent Martino typically heads up there. I, as of a few days ago, was planning on being up there for Thursday and Friday through Sirius. That those plans may be in flux right now. So I don't know if I'm going to be here or if I'm going to be up in Chicago for the draft. And I really can't speak for the rest of the crew at this point in time.
Well,
Howard's
not
going. Nobody from the TU is going, right?
We're not going this year. It's a waste of money.
Okay. Hey, if it's Sirius's money, I'm happy to go to Chicago.
That's right.
Never been to the Windy City before.
Yeah.
Hate the accent, but
I've been to Chicago too many times.
Too many times. All right. Midwestern fatigue
Chicago.
For Ryan O'Halloran. All right. Coming back, fan feedback spotlight.
Taunt them about Jay Cutler.
Perhaps.
Yes.
you'd go. You'd be the fanboy. You'd be bidding $105 on that signed football, wouldn't you?
I don't think so.
I don't know about that, pal.
I don't think so.
All right. Coming back with the fan feedback spotlight today, we asked you 3 weeks out from the NFL draft, give us three players you would like to see the Jags end up with, regardless of round. They could be late round gems, could be mid rounders. They could be trade down scenarios, could be the third overall pick. You name three guys that you want to see all end up on the Jacksonville Jaguars post-draft. We'll get to some of your responses coming up. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Well, okay then. Tony, you got a Masters leaderboard update for Duval Doom?
What you got? I can.
Chuck Hoffman running away with it right now? Four under par.
We got Hoffman at 4 under par.
Justin Rose at 3.
That's right. And Camilo Villegas, Russell Henley, Ian Poulter, Bill Haas, Webb Simpson,
Phil Mickelson,
Paul Casey,
and Phil Mickelson all at 2 under par.
Excellent. That leaderboard update brought to you by the Duval Doom brand. Hashtag Doom.
Phil, 2 birdies the first 3 holes.
I know. I thought about taking him, Ryan.
I don't like these leaderboards that don't have first names. It makes me have to know things. I don't...
Oh, you knew all those guys,
yeah,
man. I think you paused on Casey.
Yeah, though. I was like, Casey. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah.
He's been a Ryder Cupper a time or two, I believe. All right, so there you go. Courtesy of Duval Doom, there's your Masters leaderboard update. Today, the fan feedback spotlight is conveniently brought to you by the same folks who bring it to you every day, the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships, asking Jaguar fans, what drives you today? 3 weeks out from the start of the NFL draft, we asked you to name three players, regardless of round, that you would like to see end up on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony, what kind of list did we get from the folks on the Twitter box?
Here's what we got from Phil. My draft darlings are Fowler, Ajayi, and Demarius Randall. Very high on Randall as a free safety. From Colby, Beasley, Philip Dorsett, and TJ Yeldon. From at Irish Jaguar, Jay Ajayi, Cedric Abui, and not Nick O'Leary. From Isaiah, Vic Beasley, Rashad Green, and TJ Yeldon. From Tony Agolini, Fowler, Gurley, and Walker from Georgia Tech. From Cristiano, not Shane Ray, and not Shane Ray. He also said Beasley, Ajayi, and Lockett, actually. From Tommy, we got would be happy if number one, Leo, Dante Fowler, number two, running back Duke Johnson, number three, wide receiver Philip Dorsett were Jaguars. From Ryan, Beasley, Bud Dupree, and Jay Ajayi. From Duval Doom, Dupree, Pruitt, and Agbuie. From Roy, Todd Gurley, Devin Funchess, and whoever that safety is, Ekpre Alomu. Is that the guy, Ifo?
Ifo Ekpre Alomu.
Oregon guy?
He was supposed to be their best cover guy.
Yeah.
Clearly it hurt them not having him against Florida State in the championship game.
Demetrius said Leonard Williams, Paul Dawson, and Daniel Hunter. From Nick, Vic Beasley, Stephon Anthony, and David Johnson. He also hashtag Vic, pick Vic. Every day we get it from you, Nick. From Matt, Nick O'Leary, Cameron Artis Payne and Clayton Gathers as a safety out of the Central Florida. Hashtag go get him, Dave.
Let's take a look here on Facebook, Jaguars Today Facebook page. Johnny Crump said, in a perfect world, Leonard Williams, Amari Cooper, and Todd Gurley. Okay, that's one way to take the question. Good luck getting all three of those guys. Joshua Lee Wright went with Amari Cooper, Jay Ajayi, and Haloli Kikana, the outside linebacker. I cannot say his name. It's got a hyphen in there and a bunch of things that I can't pronounce. Fowler, Gurley, Cooper from Allen Munger. Again, people are getting greedy here. Matthew Ryan wants Jalen Collins, a cornerback from LSU, Cam Irving, the center from Florida State, and T.J. Yeldon, the Alabama running back, hashtagging it up for Jaguars Today. Michael Rentz said, just for Duval Doom, I would draft Adrian Gonzalez, hashtag Jaguars Today. Add a way to play the game, Michael Rentz. That's how you do it, sir. Joe Juden went with Leonard Williams, Melvin Gordon, and Shane Ray. That's interesting. Let's see. Jason Abarca, Leonard Williams, Todd Gurley, and once again, your boy Kikiana. I can't say it. The linebacker, he's the hybrid linebacker, rush end.
If they draft him, we'll learn how to say his name, I promise.
Correct. Cameron Franklin loves him some Rashad Perryman, as he's expressed that to me on a daily basis, perhaps. He wants Dante Fowler and Jacoby Glenn with that. For me, I mean, boy, I love Gurley in some fashion. I don't know. It's not going to come at the third pick. It's funny, Tony. Ever since you mentioned this, I've been thinking about the combination of taking Byron Jones out of Connecticut as a free safety, right? Mm-hmm. With the incredible speed, and if the Jags think he can play free safety, as some guys do, he could be sitting there at 36. I'd probably, to throw into that combination, maybe a guy like Philip Dorsett, because there's so many mid-round running backs. If you didn't go Gurley, I could easily go with a T.J. Yeldon in round three, something like that. But I want him to get a guy who I think can project as a, you know, workhorse type ball carrier. I think they're missing that right now on this football team. They need some more offensive playmakers. And, you know, in a draft that's light on safety help, be nice to surprisingly find a guy that could turn out to be a gem at that position.
Yeah. We sort of have an idea how they value running backs. We'll see what do they think of Sergio Brown if they draft like a guy in the second round. So it'll answer, you know, but the way they draft will answer a lot of questions about what they think of their roster going into the draft.
And there's nothing, look, to me, there's nothing wrong if you spend a second round pick if you think you can get a guy who's going to be a difference making free safety. And because you bring in Sergio Brown, it's kind of like a placeholder, right? I mean, maybe here's a guy who hasn't started a lot of games. Maybe he can hold down that spot. But at the very least, he's going to be a terrific special teamer as he's been throughout his career, and he's going to give you more depth in that secondary. It's not like you don't get injuries. So if they were, to me, I don't think it's an indictment on signing Sergio Brown if they went out and spent a second-round pick on a guy they liked at free safety.
No, it's them trying to address a position that they thought that they could upgrade. And look, if Caldwell is sincere in what he said about he feels like they can go out and play today and didn't feel like they were in a position to do that a couple years ago, then you are probably drafting guys as upgrades over what you have on your roster. I mean, that's what you're doing if you feel good about where your roster is right now. So I don't think it is saying anything about Sergio Brown. I think it's saying something about what they thought was available to him in this draft. I like that idea, and as I keep saying, I pick a player every year that I kind of fall in love with, and it feels like Bud Dupree's becoming that guy for me.
That'd be another good one.
Right. The idea of being able to move down and still pick up that type of player is really intriguing to me. But I would say Bud Dupree. I think Rashad Green, certainly a guy you got to keep your eye on probably in that second round and whatever they're going to do at running back.
Rashad Green in the second round? Oof, I don't know. I don't know if that's...
I think that's where... if you're going to get him, I think that's where it's going to wind up happening.
Boy, I don't know if that's the value at 36. But, look, you know, it's all just words until
it goes down.
I think Bud Dupree, Todd Gurley is a perfect first round for the Jags if they were able to swing a deal with Cleveland. Pro Football Talk reporting that the Browns have significant interest. I don't know if reporting or restating, I don't know the proper way to put it, because, you know, there's been multiple reports out there, but sources apparently tell them the Browns are truly interested in moving up to get Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota. My feeling is, though, that Tennessee's going to be the team that takes that deal. It's not like Tennessee's a player away. Tennessee's not going to look and say, wow, if we get Leonard Williams here, then we're set. And that's what it would take for the Jags to get that kind of offer. Tennessee's either going to say, we love the quarterback ourselves, let's take him. Or if we don't, I think they're going to be the ones that profit from the trade down, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably.
That's a bummer to me. I mean, look.
Then maybe, you just hope they screw it up.
Maybe the Jags. Well, it's not that. It's
you get Leonard Williams and you hope they screw it up.
I want the Jags to get multiples of good players. And I understand, you know, one J.J. Watt is worth three or whatever really good players. If you're really that much of a difference maker, a guy that other teams have to game plan for, but I can't guarantee you that Dante Fowler or Leonard Williams or any of these guys or Vic Beasley is going to be that kind of difference maker for this team. Give me Bud Dupree and Todd Gurley, and I'll take my chances versus Vic Beasley. That's what I'm saying, I guess. Right? Makes sense?
Sure. So you're more of the more kicks at the can?
Yeah, because I think you're not going to – 3 years from now, you're going to be stunned if Bud Dupree is a better player than Vic Beasley straight up or Dante Fowler? I'm not.
I wouldn't be, no.
Right. I mean, look. I'm not saying that I'm betting on that happening, but if you could give me that back end with Todd Gurley, and that's part of it, too. I don't think Todd Gurley's sitting there at 19 when it's all said and done. I think Todd Gurley goes higher than that. So I think I'm probably talking about a pipe dream scenario. I don't care. Take Gurley at 12. Take Bud Dupree at 19. We've seen him fall all the way to the 20s.
Or, right.
in some of these mock drafts.
Or Devontae Parker or whatever might be there at 19.
Who knows? Right. I mean, and I think, Ryan, that's one thing. And, again, look, they're bringing in guys like Andres Pete and some of these offensive linemen that we don't think they're at all likely to land. But I do think the wide receivers they're bringing in, they're saying, all right, you know what? There is a possibility we get that offer, and we fall into a range where maybe the pass rushers, the elite guys are gone, and these are the guys that could also impact us. Because I think most of the guys are bringing in, we've seen a lot of defensive linemen, we've seen a lot of receivers, and we're seeing several of the top running backs come in as well. And I think pretty clearly they could use improvement in all those areas.
Yeah, and over the next couple weeks, they got 10 visits left they can take. They may not use them all.
Jameis, Petty, Martin. I'm kidding.
No, I was joking about that earlier. That'd be funny just to make other people sweat. But, you'll bring in a couple guys that may not even be drafted. Yeah, and then you also bring in some guys third, fourth round just to, get a beat on them as well.
You bring in those, you're talking about like priority free agent guys that you get a good feel like, and you indicate to them, hey, if you happen to, we'd love to draft you late. If you happen to fall through the cracks, we think you'd be a perfect fit here, and kind of sell them on the idea, because then the ball's in their court if they got multiple teams going after them too.
Yeah, and what they'll maybe bring in a couple guys who are in that fourth round. I mean, do they bring in maybe the Boise State running back, or they had the Nebraska running back at the Senior Bowl, so they've met with him. So just, do some, more crossing of T's here in the next week or two for guys who may be available on day three.
All right, what do you got coming up at the Times Union and the digital pages thereof at Jacksonville.com?
Well, Sunday we sort of start our draft coverage a little bit. Hayes Carlisle is doing something on character counting. So a lot of coaches and GMs have talked about that. You know, how much do they weigh it? Can it knock a guy totally off your board or just down around? So we'll explore that. We'll also have a list of, here are the guys with character concerns. So that'd be interesting. And then starting a week from Sunday, we'll get our position-by-position preview started, which will run for, 9 days.
All right, check all that out, and follow Ryan, as you already do probably. But if you don't, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter for all the latest breaking Jaguar news. Final thought, Tony Smith?
Charlie Hoffman's in the clubhouse at 5 under par.
Did he make it in the clubhouse at 5 under?
5 under. He birdied 18 to get to 5 under par. So he's got a 2-stroke lead over the rest of the field. Justin Rose and Bill Haas right now at 3 under par. Still waiting to make the turn there on the front nine. Yeah, looking forward to getting home this afternoon, watching a little Masters. And
Tom Watson's holding steady at 1 under par through 14 holes right now.
And I know that Doom hates it when we talk about other sports, so I get a little Strasburg Harvey action this afternoon as well. Heck yeah. As a baseball fan, doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, how do you feel? I understand the 3-0 start, but how do you feel about the fact that your GM decided to quit before the season started?
I'm all right with it.
You okay with that?
Because we're 3-0.
All right, fine. So you're 3-0 now when you missed the playoffs by 2 games because you traded your closer before the season
began. It's
going
to be a really long season. I don't expect this to continue. Let me enjoy my couple days in first place.
I will not do that. Thank you very much. Hey, I'm enjoying my day at 500 right now. So that's the way it goes. That does it for us, for Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I am Mike Dempsey. Thanks to all our great sponsors out there. Thanks to all of you for listening, tweeting, posting on Facebook, and calling into the program as well. Back again tomorrow, perhaps with David Grant. I got to check in with Dave, see what his schedule is like. But Tony, I'll be here regardless, another edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.